Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Wimpen and William Tin Cup coming to you live. Almost didn't get that out, so William will hopefully be calling in here in a little bit. He is dancing currently with TSA at DFW, I'm assuming. So we'll maybe get him on in a little bit. So welcome to a show that talks a lot about human resources and HR. So we'll get to I want to get to our guest quickly because this is going to be a fun and selfishly easy show since you've been around the internet radio world for a long time. So Steve Bowes, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Brian, my friend, how are you? Thank you for having me back. It has been a while. I feel like I have not dropped in. I love the intro song. I haven't heard that, so that's well done. Just as the guy was hitting the high note, you cut him off, though. So the payoff, I was still waiting for.
That's how we roll. That's how we roll. We're all about the almost crescendo. So got to mix
tease,
it up,
right?
A little bit.
Play the end at the end of the show or something. Yeah, very good. So
yeah, it's good. I mean, you've been busy working for one of the world's largest companies. Getting new gigs, still doing the other things that you do. I mean, you got a lot going on. So we're just trying to get into your schedule when we can. So we appreciate you.
Yeah, I like that. I appreciate that. It's like a marathon for me in the last 2 days. I did a podcast yesterday with the good folks from SAP and a few other folks as well. And that was yesterday morning. I'm on Drive Through HR. Today, and then tonight I'm doing my show. The HR Happy Hour is back with a live show tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern for folks who might want to tune into that. So I'm sort of grouping all my radio appearances into a tight little cluster here in February. So, it's been a busy couple of months, as you said. I'm doing some new stuff right now, and I'd love to talk a little bit about that, but open to, chatting about whatever's on your mind too, man. This is your show. I'm just along for the ride. I'm just happy to be here, Brian. That's my attitude right now.
Well, I think that SAP, HR Happy Hour, and Drive Through HR, I don't think you could get three more tightly woven, organizations right there. So you set the table pretty nicely.
Yeah,
for lunch, so to speak.
I'm trying to weave like a narrative of excitement throughout the three shows. So hopefully it'll culminate in a fantastic appearance here today and tonight as well. So.
It's a metaphor for greatness. Let's get to the bottom
exactly.
line right there. So
exactly. Nowhere to go but up, right?
Yes, indeed. So if you could, we got like I said, lots of folks that. If they don't know you, they're going to know you here shortly. So if you would, introduce yourself first, and then we'll kind of jump into it.
Yeah, sure, Brian. So, yeah, my name's Steve Bowes. I've been focusing on HR technology for a long time. I had a lot of jobs in a lot of different capacities over the years. I'm currently working for LRP Publications. If you don't know that name, you'll probably know at least two of their brand names. One is the HR Technology Conference, which is an annual conference held in October. This year it's in Las Vegas. And it's the largest conference of its kind in the world, focusing exclusively on human resources technology. And LRP Publications also publishes Human Resource Executive Magazine and Human Resource Executive Online, which maybe your two other brands, HR folks who are listening might know about. So my role is to be the sort of incoming co-chair person of the conference, as well as to do some technology-related things for Human Resource Executive Magazine and HRE Online. And, before that I worked for Oracle for a while, in the Human Capital Management Software Product Development Group. And before that, ran HR technology for different companies in different capacities and, so on and so forth. So we don't need to go through all the gory details of it, but I've been around HR technology for a long time and really excited to be working on the conference now, which is a great event that we're really looking forward to. We are in programming. In fact, 5 minutes ago, I just got off a call where we were talking about keynote speakers and, general session speakers and content and how we're approaching programming the show right now. So the HRTechConference.com. You can go check that out if you want to learn more about the show. But really excited about it. It's going to be a great event, and looking forward to working with the team at HR Executive as well.
Well, and it's and thank you. Good intro. You got a lot been around for a while, and I think you laid some good groundwork for our convo. It's just funny where I go with that. I'm just thinking back, years ago of going to the big HR technology conference, right? HR Tech years ago, and it's so funny to once you get more involved, especially with the whole social component, and obviously getting to know you and Bill and William and everybody, and getting more dialed into this. It's fun to be more involved in what that looks like and promoting it, and it's a lot. It just makes it a bigger experience because it's a great experience. Anybody that has not been there, you need to check it out. If you have an interest in HR technology, it is one of those conferences that the level of – it's a pretty intense conference. It's different than any other conference that I go to all year long because the intensity of people that are there that are so deep in kind of domain knowledge and so willing to kind of talk about it and yet still socialize, there's just a level of intensity there that is second to none.
Yeah, I sort of agree with that, Brian. I remember the first time I attended a few years back. I thought the same thing. It's in some ways it's an intense show, but it also has that element of fun and excitement. And we're trying to bring more of those elements to the show as well. You mentioned the social media outreach. We'll be doing that again this year. There'll be for the first time at HR Tech, and someone could tell me I'm wrong about this, but at least that I can recall, we will have a separate blogging room / press room type for the bloggers and social media kind of folks to hang out in, which is something Sherm started a couple years back and other shows now do, and I think is really successful. I'll probably be personally managing that part of the show in terms of the blogger outreach and engaging with that community as we get closer. We are also introducing this year at the show. I like this. I like Brian. I just say something. I love how the show is turning out. It's turning out to be what is going to amount to about a 22-minute infomercial for the show, which I like. I love how this is turning out. So this is fantastic. But the last thing I'll say is another thing we're doing this year, which is new, and then I'll shut up about it, is the TED Talks, right, Brian? You're familiar
mm-hmm.
with TED and TEDx.
Sure.
So we're going to be doing our own version of those at HR Technology. I'm not sure what we're calling them yet. We need to come up with a catchy name, but the idea being to get more voices, to get a chance to take the stage at HR Technology, to do shorter in nature talks, a little bit more storytelling, a little bit more provocative, and maybe a break from the traditional, type of session you might see at an HR conference, which tend to be a little more didactic or a little more case study focused. We're going to try to bring an element of entertainment / engagement / sort of provocative speeches to the show as well. So we'll be doing that this year too for the first time.
Well, that's exciting, and where the whole unconference thing really kind of bubbled up from Silicon, from the IT development world. That's where it all really started. Is just we want to get together in free flow, and have just break down the barriers of people saying no and we can't do it, and let's roll with this and have a very real conversation. That all started, years ago in Silicon, Silicon Valley-ish area. So that's cool that you're kind of bringing that back around. I think that's a great additional dynamic to the conference.
I tell you what, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, we'll be doing as well, sessions on new technologies. The one session that's become very popular is called the Awesome New Technologies for HR. We'll be doing that again. And, I'm looking for companies to talk to about that session too. So a lot of good things happening with the show. And then I guess the last thing I'll mention is, of course, and I can't, she'll kill me if I forget to mention this, is HR Evolution, which is that one-day pre-event, unconference type of event that's been we've started with Trish McFarland, Ben Eubanks, Matt Stalick, myself. We've been running that for a few years now. That will also be in October in Las Vegas, co-located with HR Tech again, and it'll be the day before HR Tech starts. So if you come out to HR Tech, you might want to consider coming to HR Evolution, or the if you come out to HR Evolution, you know, then you want to consider staying for HR Tech. So we're putting it all together in one big package and really looking forward to a great experience this fall in October in Mandalay Bay, back in Las Vegas, Brian. And you're a Vegas guy. You're a gambling man by nature, I think. So I think you'll appreciate the return of the show to Las Vegas, too.
I like all that. There's no two ways about that. There's just fun had by all. That there's probably an understatement of the century right there. But
all right. So we can stop with my infomercial now. I'm sure we're like tiring out the listeners, and we could talk about whatever's on your mind, Brian. That's what I'm here to help you out.
No, we've dropped enough listeners as is, so we need to get.
Have I alienated the listener? I'm used to it. That's fine.
Oh, whatever. We got a good. This is a fun, good conversation, because that's big news, man. We have a lot of folks that tune in for aspects of talking about HR technology. I mean, that's kind of the linchpin of process for the industry. So it's big news. I'm glad we spent some time, and we'll I'm sure spend some more time on it as we get down the road. So. What is currently kind of top of mind around maybe 2013 from you, from an HR technology perspective? What do you think is going to happen that might surprise people?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think my sense would be making predictions or looking ahead too far in the tech space is bound to get you in trouble, because often – we're often surprised by what's happened. And last year, I think, and even the year before, were marked by a lot of, in the technology space, a lot of consolidation activity. So you had larger, more established, traditional types of vendors like SAP and like Oracle, getting into more heavily into the cloud space by virtue primarily of acquisition, but also by developing new solutions that could support and or leverage the best of the modern technology deployment models and infrastructure, right? So there was so much churn in the market and some big companies being bought up by even bigger companies. I felt like the market was in a little bit of flux and there was a lot of uncertainty. I think, and that sort of carried on through end of 2011, through 2012, and even maybe bled into a little bit of this year. And I think that's going to settle down now. I think the larger companies are probably done making acquisitions, and I think the market will sort of settle some in 2013. And now really the challenge is going to be from the service provider side, can they truly deliver solutions that meet the needs of their customers and deliver the promise of the things we've been talking about, right, the trends that we've been talking about in workforce technology for the last few years, primarily mobile, but also social, also, and now the latest, right, big data and increased use of analytics. Can we move past, in 2013, these things being, well, these are just, we think they're trends, we think they're important, but I'm not really seeing the direct value in my organization. Can we get to the stage where more organizations and more HR leaders are really able to drive value from their technology investments? I think that's going to be the big story in 2013, where the cloud and all the other trends, do they start paying off for real in organizations?
Sure. Do you see a potential kind of renaissance, not that it went away, but I mean just really kind of momentum around consulting, implementation, kind of the actual design of how to really best use all this new available technology, in everybody's hand?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think when I talk to HR leaders, what I hear a lot is, when we talk about technology, is I'd like to be able to have technologies that are accessible to my organization, that we can implement in a reasonably short time frame for a reasonably reasonable amount of money and effort, and I don't need to have essentially an army of consultants and a 12-month implementation saga, much like we did, right? If you're old enough to have lived through maybe, you know, an enterprise resource planning implementation or supply chain management implementation, right? And I've done a few of these, and Brian, you probably have been around them in your career too. But what did we always think about them? Like, if you survive, you tried to survive them. Right, you tried not to have it ruin your career, right? If you were the person responsible for delivering the ERP project, and so when we talk about modern technology deployments, right, and cloud-based deployments, one of the promises, right, that we've heard and HR leaders have heard for a while is they'll be simpler, they'll be easier to deploy. You won't need internal IT doing tons of work for you. You won't need a third parties. You won't have to customize the software. You can just, quote unquote, configure it to the needs of your organization. So there's been lots of promises, right? And I think, like, in technology and in enterprise technology specifically, often the promise is a little different than the reality. I don't think that's a lot different yet in cloud-based technologies or more modern technologies. I think organizations face many of the same problems they've always faced when it comes to implementing enterprise tools. I think some of them look a little different, but I think that's the challenge. And it's a challenge both incumbent upon the software solution providers, the third parties that help companies integrate these solutions, as well as the customers themselves to get the most out of technologies. There's certainly it's certainly not. In my opinion, it's not any easier just because the technology is newer.
Quick little story on that is actually you were talking about, like, you know, supply chain, you know, ERP actually started a business around doing supporting implementations back in like 2000, support like staff
right.
augmentation around like the 9, 10, 11 I eras. For Oracle with big companies,
sure, yeah,
supplying
yeah.
people to literally do data entry and, you know, all the way to business analysts, because it was so painful and such a long process, and there was so much money available to kind of figure out how are we going to get this done with flat out labor, right? Because we've
yeah.
got to figure out how to run the business while we're doing these big things. So I get that.
Oh, I had a conversation with an HR head of HR at a fairly big company this week. Might as well have been the same statement you just made right now. You know, she's grinding through an implementation right now, and her main problem is, hey, I've got a job to do, and my team has a job to do, right? And I can only do what I can do with respect to this technology implementation, and meanwhile support my customers, my internal clients, the external requirements that I have as an HR department. So, and that's no different, right? The technology is newer and maybe deployed in the cloud, it may be on mobile devices, it may be on iPads. That same problem, how can I manage and balance my workload with the desire and the attractiveness of new technology? That's been around, as you said, 20 years, right, in the enterprise. That's no different.
No, and won't be, you know, obviously won't be different anytime soon. Whoever invents making that different, then you know, we probably won't ever talk to them because they would be so wealthy
yeah.
that we just won't ever get there.
Right,
so.
And I kind of think the people who are good at managing projects and balancing resources and understanding the real critical importance of dedicating resources to technology projects, those people who've been through it, I think they're valuable as much today as they were back in the ERP days, right? Just because the technology is different, I think the approach to the technology and to get the most out of it is very, very similar.
Oh, absolutely agree. So let me do a quick reset, a little bit behind here. So everybody listening to Drive Through HR, Brian Wimpen, talking with Mr. Steve Bowes, and still waiting. William Tincup might call in
before the end of the show. I'm trying to think the last time I was on, Brian, if Tincup showed up or not. He might. I don't know if he did. I can't remember, but.
But I think we flipped
the script.
I feel
like maybe he didn't. Yeah.
No, I think he showed up. I didn't.
Did he?
So, yeah, we got rules. We got a process.
Brian, you'll have to invite me back prior to the HR Tech Conference then if I miss William. So that'll be my
course.
That'll be
We do, you know, every year we do special shows about that. So I like the way you loop that back in very subtly. That was smooth.
Yeah,
like
can we talk? That's enough of my, you know. Let's talk. Can I tell you about the Y2K bug, Brian? That was an exciting time.
Oh yeah, that's just epic journey. So
I was in fourth grade, but I remember it well.
Hey, well, yeah, we'll go with that. I'll back you on that deal. So
thank you.
Big question, big SaaS question. Is SaaS really profitable?
You know, I guess it depends on who you ask. I think the viability of the SaaS model as a long-term successful enterprise business strategy, I think it's probably open to debate, right? And I must say, I don't study the, you know, financial positions of the firms as much as some other people do in the industry. My suspicion is it will have to be, because the appetite for simpler, more easily deployable, more easily kept, upgraded, and current solutions is just there, and it won't go back. Enterprises will demand their technology solutions be delivered in that fashion, more flexibly and more, hopefully someday a little more simpler and more easily deployable. So I don't think we're ever going back to a world where, like, I can't see any scenario where a new entrant will emerge in significantly in enterprise technology with an on-premise solution. So I think the companies that are perhaps struggling with their profitability will either have to figure it out or they'll just be usurped by other ones. I don't think there's any likelihood of it going away as a deployment model. I mean, I could not see that scenario happening.
Well, and I think driven by the fact that you have scarcity of talent to actually even work on deployments and work on development, you're going to have to get some economies. Somewhere, someplace in the cloud, per se, is really where that opportunity is. It's just, you know, the model's new. And so
yeah,
I think it's kind of the Amazon. For me, I process it like Amazon, right? They were right at the brink of implosion, you know, $1 billion in, and finally they hit a tipping point of that critical mass tipping point where they could start operating their business, you know, back in whatever it was, 2003, 2004. You know, they were right there, and then once they got over that, it all started making sense to everybody, and everybody's like, "Oh, this is a great model. It makes total sense." And now look at where they're at to now. You know, now, and they're right in the middle of SaaS.
Right, right. And the challenge is too that for HR technology companies, you know, reaching that level of critical mass is very unlikely. Right. It's probably not going to be possible. So what they have to do is actually take cues from their more successful, you know, consumer brethren, right, in the technology
mm-hmm.
space, and who are able to figure out how to scale up really, really rapidly with very low fixed costs, right? The Instagram story is the best one, right? The 14 in total employees, you know, 1 million users, 1 billion pictures, and sold for, you know, whatever, $500 million, right, later
right.
on. But, to me, the interesting stat there was the ratio of users to employees, right? It was like 100,000 to 1. It was insane, right? And, you know, we don't see that on the enterprise. Now, certainly enterprise technology is a lot more complex typically than, you know, say a mobile social network like Instagram.
Right, right.
I think that's where we're heading, right? And more companies, right? I guess the other trend you'll see, you asked about 2013, right? I mean, we'll see this how companies that started off as consumer companies, freemium model kind of companies, many of them are moving towards enterprise, right? Evernote is one of them. Box.com or Box.net,
mm-hmm.
you might know it as another one, a good example of that. And I think there'll be more of that where companies will sort of get their chops on the consumer space and then look for enterprise applications down the road for sustainability and, quite frankly, for profitability.
Yeah, and that's, you know, for me, seems like just trying to go the other way on that, enterprise to consumer, consumer to enterprise to me makes a lot more sense if you, you know, on multiple levels. But it's different, and it takes different resources,
yeah,
and it's different positioning, and so it'll be fun to see how that hybrids over the next, especially over the next 18 months, as people are still running after, you know, return on investment, return on equity. I mean, that's going to be continue to be a big
yeah,
story, and should.
But you think about your average person, right? I mean, the average person today in 2013 uses a lot more personal technology than they did 10 years ago or 15 years ago, right? So today, every person walks around with a powerful computer, essentially masked as a phone, in their pocket, right? And they have a tablet. And so they're engaging with really exciting, fun to use, easy to use, interesting technologies that they choose, that they've decided to deploy to their own device, right? They're doing that every single day, all day long. And so they get to work, right, and they think, boy, you're making me use XYZ system on this type of a PC in this type of an environment with some crappy old monitor, whatever the story is, right? And so the average employee, much less, they say, the HR leader, the average employee is going to get much more vocal, already has, quite frankly, about the technology choices that their enterprises are going to make. And you don't want to frustrate your people with some terrible system, terrible hardware, terrible environment. And when they know that great solutions are out there, they're right at the palm of their hands all day long.
Most definitely. So we got about 3 minutes left. Where I've got one question, and then we can wrap up with kind of just some of the places maybe you're going to be over the next few months. What's your kind of recap on some planning with HR Tech and course HR Evolution and your show tonight? So where's a place that you're currently drawing some inspiration from?
That's a good question. I like a lot of what's going on with, like, the design space. So I spend a lot of my time not reading sort of HR things, but reading kind of, you know, architecture things, design things, advertising in particularly sort of graphic design. And to me, more of how do we make the experience that we provide to people, whether it's a technology experience, a workplace experience, a physical experience, how do we make that experience overall better, more fun, more engaging? That's what I'm interested in. I've not yet figured out how it has direct application yet to what I do, say, with the HR Technology Conference or some other things I do. But that's what I'm interested in. You know, I'm interested in, like, the manufacture of experience for either employees or for customers or for constituents more holistically. I'm really fascinated by it. I haven't figured out how to, like, make a living out of it yet, but I'm interested in it anyway.
Well, perfect, and it's for everybody out there. We're one of the places that I follow as many blogs as I can possibly consume. If you've not ever been there, go to IDEO.com. It's one of my favorite. They're a design and innovation firm out of kind of bubbled up out of Stanford. So IDEO.com, fun place to get inspiration. Steve, I think we're out of time. So where can people connect with you?
Yeah, so check out the HR Tech Conference, of course, hrtechconference.com. My show's the HR Happy Hour Show. Will be on tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. That's on Blog Talk Radio. Just search for HR Happy Hour. And my blog, too, stevebowes.squarespace.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Steve Bowes. That's it. That's everything, Brian. And thanks, man, for having me back.
Thanks, brother. Good to hear your voice. Again, congratulations. Only looking for good stuff. Can't wait to hear the show tonight. For everybody who didn't know this, HR Happy Hour was one of the original inspirations for Drive-Thru HR. So check it out. Steve, be good. We're out of here, folks.
All right, Brian. Thanks so much.